in Cairo. I believe that's where he is, and I believe the empire will stretch all the way out, just like Leonard had on his diagram, by this time all the way out to Spain. I believe it will stretch all the way over into Indonesia, because they're Indonesian, but they're a milder form. I will say that for them. I think it will go all the way across to and take over India and Bangladesh. I believe that. And so I was glad he found that diagram, and I hold on to it, because I think it's going to be fulfilled to that extent. Now in Joel 3, 9 through 8, proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. He's sitting down in Cairo and he's yelling, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw together. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords. I think this is an appeal over all the old countries that were in existence when the prophecies were written. He says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Now, remember, Israel is surrounded in the Negev. I believe, I'm convinced that Jordan will be down there with them. I'm convinced that the Antichrist will try to get them to swing over to the Sharia law. But they are still a group, an independent nation. They're not ruled by the Antichrist, but the Antichrist is not going to go down in there until he's sure he can take it. And so he'll have to have a pretty big force behind him, and he knows it. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about thither. Cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up out of the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, I've done a lot of research on this. And most people tend to put the valley of Jehoshaphat, and most of the church leaders tend to put the valley of Jehoshaphat as the valley of the Kidron, which is just outside of Israel. And it's that valley that runs in front of the where the whole temple complex set. And I don't believe that. And you'll never convince me otherwise. I went back and I studied that thing for years. I wanted to know where is that place, because I couldn't make it fit up into there. In the prophetic, and I just couldn't do it. So I started doing the research, not based on what preachers said after Israel was carried into captivity, but what Israel had to say about it, and what archaeology discovered where it was. It's not far away from the Kidron Valley, but it's down across. You go across from Bethlehem. Go right on across from Bethlehem to the Jordan River. And when you go across the Jordan River to Bethlehem, that's where the Valley of Jehoshaphat set. And it ran on down toward, maybe about 30 miles from there. And it was called the Battle of Jehoshaphat because that is where, according to Jewish history, Jehoshaphat fought his most distinctive battle and won a great victory. And so check that out. See if you can find something that disagrees with it that you're sure of. But that's where I believe it was. And I think that what's going to happen is that you're going to see most of the Antichrist army down in that valley, concentrated when they get ready to make their big push into the Negev. And that's where I believe they're going to be. and they're going to come up to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I set to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision. Now, that is a part of that that's going to rip open. That's a part of the wine press and I know that I'm right about that wine press. You say, well, what's going to happen if you get up before the throne? I'm going to say, well, Lord, I sure did think I was. And I don't think he's going to hit me with a club or anything. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The Valley of Jehoshaphat is where he won a great victory. And I told you where it was located. Now, when Israel comes up out of there, they're going to win a great victory in that valley. And they won't have to worry about the magma, because the magma itself, they can come all up into those hills to the west of it, and they can come right on up in there and take the Valley of Jehoshaphat. So from a military standpoint, it makes a lot of sense, and it does not disagree with the Word of God. So I believe that's what's going to happen. So he says, and the Lord shall roar also out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. Now this is this is what's going to happen during that time. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, and the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain, and shall Jerusalem be holy? This is when they come up out. He says, and there shall be no strangers pass through her anymore. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountain shall drop down to a sweet wine. It means that even the wild grapes will flourish in the Israel he revives vegetatively, botanically. And the why even the wild grapes, which people used to go out to the hills together, but they certainly weren't as many as the commercial grapes. And they went out there. He said, even they are going to just drop down. He says, they'll drop down new wine. It's going to be fantastic. Now, if you want to know what I really am excited about going to heaven, it is to see Imogene, but quite frankly, I'm going to see God before I see her, and I'm more interested in that, and I know she's already seen him, and she's more interested. We've always been more interested in him than we have been in each other, but we love each other dearly. And the hills. Now, the hills shall flow with milk. Now, this picture is a pastoral scene. And it pictures green grass on the hills. So apparently the amount of rainfall is going to be just right. And apparently they'll have dairy cattle. They had heifers and things, you know. They had dairy cattle. But they're going to have so many cattle over there on those hills, they'll produce enough milk to feed the nation and most of the nations around them. And they may have the nations around them working on those places. And all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. Man, if that isn't a watershed coming down out of those Judean hills and turning Israel into a paradise, I don't know what it is. And the only one I know who can do that is the one God, Jesus. And he's going to do it. And a fountain, a spring. I've talked about this. It's found three times in the Old Testament. I know that I'm right. You say, well, if the Lord says, well, Tom, you didn't have that right. I'm going to say, Lord, it's a lot better than I thought. I'm going to find something, and he'll say, quit using that guile on me. Well, I won't have guile anymore, so maybe I won't say that. And a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord and shall water the valley of Shittim. The valley of Shittim was right up at the very end of the river. Here comes the Jordan. Here comes the Dead Sea. And right here, where the Jordan goes in, right there, that was what was known as the Shittim. And oh, brother, good. How can I forget his name? He was he's one of the finest prophetic teachers we ever had. He's taught. He was down at the seminary. He was taught in the seminary out in California, and everybody respected him. I had deep respect for him. I used to go to him and ask questions about a lot of things that I didn't believe, that missionary Baptists believe. And he said, well, Tom, he said, that's right. But he said, you'd be a lot better off if you just kind of skirt around it. And so I took his advice. What in the world was his name? He was a close personal friend. God, that's embarrassing. Lord, that's embarrassing. Wrote a book. Good one, about that thick, called Oh Israel. And he thought enough of me, and I didn't deserve that, but he wanted me to review the whole book. And if I found anything wrong in it, just write it, scribble in there. And
is that Cross?
I.K. Cross. And he said I'll probably change it. And I said, okay. I said, but you don't have to change it. He said, that was very flattering. And I thought more of his opinion on Israel than I did of mine, and because mine wasn't all that great. But in any case, he also said, if you want to put anything in there, he said, you just write it down. And he said, I'll put it in there. And he did. And, you know, that's very flattering. And, you know. But I got over that. I'm not like that anymore. Here I am, you know. Kill me, somebody. Okay. He says, in that day, now notice this. Boy, this is when they come up out of that Negev. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire. You have a hearth of fire, and I think it's really referring to sticking your kind of a club like they defended the sheep with. I'm not sure of that. And among the wood, and like a torch of fire. That's the reason I think that that's really what it's like. It's that it comes out of the fire like you'd see on a hearth what do you call those?
Fireplace.
See how bad I'm getting out of me? God, it's awful. Lord, I'm saying that too much. Lord, it's awful. It's embarrassing, but after a while you just get over being embarrassed. Like a heath of fire among the wood and a torch of fire in a sheave. That's when they take a torch and they put a sheave on the end of it, and they'd, I don't know what they soaked in it, or even, well, I know they had to put it in something. They probably put it in olive oil, and then they got the olive oil ignited, and then they would use that as a torch. He says, and they shall devour all the people round about on the right hand and on the left. We're going to see that. We're going to come back with him. And he'll be cleaning that up. Well, he'll clean that up. He's going to clean it up after the tribulation period. That's all I can tell you for sure. And Jerusalem shall be a habit again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. And the Lord shall save the tents of Judah first, because that's where he's going to come out first, charging out of that Negev. And the glory of the house of David, and the glory of the house of David, the glory of the house of David. Now that's the northern kingdom. Then he's going to charge on up there and take that back. But he's not about to stop there. And the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall do not magnify themselves against Judah. They're going to get along with each other. First time they got along with. Yeah. All the church members will get along with each other up there. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what's going to be not to not have a carnal nature? I won't even be able to kid you, anime. Because the Lord said we're going to be held accountable for every foolish word we speak. And Lord, I'm sure glad he forgives your sins. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as the son of David. Son of David. There he is again. Glorified, the incarnate Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, in the Old Testament, shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God. Well, he will be like God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that came against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look on him. Now that's over in Acts. That's over in Revelation. It's the first chapter. Why is it that I can remember that? Why is it I can remember all these scriptures? I know, but you're going to have to figure it out for yourself. Because I tell myself every day, self, you ain't remembering those. Because the Lord lets me. And man, I love it. Because if the Lord had said, if I let you just remember one thing, what would it be? I guarantee you what I'd say, your word. If I didn't know who I was or where I was or anything else, but I got to know his word and still preach it, even though I was out of my mind and I still preached the truth, I'd want to keep on learning it and want to keep on preaching it, I think. And they look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. Man, they're going to gather and they're going to mourn for him. They're going to be sorry for what they did. They're going to repent of it. They're going to be sorry, but they'll get over it. As one mourneth for his only son. That's the only son that God ever, the only begotten son that they ever had. And that's the only God that Israel ever had. And they shall be in bitterness for him. Oh man, it's going to hurt. Maybe that's the judgment of the nations. I'm not saying it is, but it's going to hurt. I know that. As one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. He was their firstborn. But they would not receive him as his firstborn. Because he was the firstborn son of God. And every time, he's the only son of God that was ever born. So he's the firstborn son of God, and he was very much there in the Old Testament. They could have had him. You say, well, why did God let that go on? Because God wanted man to have a choice. And God gave him a choice, a legitimate choice. Every man that broke a woman's womb, that when the time came that he reached the age of accountability, he could have accepted God. The fact that he did not has nothing to do with it, because God gave him the chance. You say, what does that mean? I don't really know. But I think that God is so humble that he actually considered, I'm giving this because I want them to know that I thought I could have been wrong. That's quite a thing to say. Lord, if that's not right, forgive me. But I thank God, since I've come up here, I have come to look upon God as so merciful. It's just hard for me to believe and to know that they... Why didn't he just go ahead and... Why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do that? That's what preachers are always asking. But all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the chosen according to his purpose. And I believe that. So I can tell you what I believe. I believe that every man had a fair, open, and even chance to receive God. I believe that. I want to say I know that. And God, knowing that they wouldn't, some of them, he went ahead and gave them a chance anyway. Lord, if that's not right, forgive me. As the morning of Hadad-Rimmon. Now, they call it Hadad-Rimmon because it's the Rimmon that is up to the north-northeast of Jerusalem. It's there in the valley of Valley of Jezreel, and what's known as the valley from from the port up there. What's that port's name? Starts with an H, I think. The valley of
was it Esther Elon?
Yeah, Esther Elon. The valley of Esther Elon starts up there at and goes down and joins the valley of Jezreel. It's somewhere right up there in that area. No, you got it. You got it. It's the valley of Esther Elon. And it's that valley where you've got Mount Tabor. And up at the far end on the Atlantic is the seaport, it starts with an H, I think. It's a big seaport. I can't think of it, but anyway, it's up there where the Battle of Armageddon troops are going to be collected and where there's going to be a lot of slaughter. But when they get ready to attack Israel, they're going to move most of them down into the, or a lot of them, down into the valley I just mentioned it up here. Jehoshaphat. I've asked the Lord to let me keep my mind as far as scriptures are concerned. Whatever he does, I'm all for. The valley of the house of David apart. He says, all the land shall mourn, every family apart. Now there was that was the one in the northern part, and that's what this one is. It says Hadad-Rimmon because that locates it and identifies it as being the Rimmon in the north. Now the Rimmon, that it's going to run all the way down that fault line all the way down to Rimmon in the south. You remember when we went down there and we went to that Rimmon of the south and it's about tore that car up? Well, anyway, that's where it is. And I've been there, and it's pretty nice. Well, anyway, in that day there shall be a great mourning of the Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon, And that's going to be the Jews coming out, and they're going to go up there in that long valley of Megiddo, which consists of the Gethsemane, whatever that valley is, that joins on to the Vale of Jezreel. Maybe this is that sugar high I got from that peach, I don't know. I hope it is. He says, and the land shall mourn every family apart. Now he separates three things here. The family of the house of Nathan apart. Now Nathan was the son of David, and their wives apart. The valley of the house of Levi apart. That was the house, that was the priest. He was over the house of the priest. And their wives apart. The valley of Simony apart. That was the priesthood itself. And they were the, at the time this was written, they were the family of Simi. And Nathan. Nathan is over here. And the other one over here is Solomon. And here sits David. He had two sons, Nathan and Solomon. Now, if you'll notice, Solomon is not mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. I wonder why. I've got all sorts of reasons I can think of, but for some reason, I'm not going to worry about it. I know that Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. He knew all about everything. But the wisdom of God is so superior to his, it is pathetic. And all that wisdom that Solomon had. Now, I'm a scientist. I'm a meteorologist. I'm a geologist. Big deal. What's that wisdom worth? Zilch. Unless God wants to use it for something. And he called me. And here I am. But not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I'm one of the foolish things of this world that God wanted to learn what I've learned. And then God taught me how to apply it to his word. I don't claim everything that I've applied to it is right, but I do know it was the word of God and he had a purpose in all that. And I'm very thankful that God gave me the purpose. Anyway, these are the three things, that the three groups that will gather apart. All the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. You'll notice they're still kept apart. They're still kept apart but at the Wailing Wall. And when they worship in Jewish synagogues, they're still kept apart. And until my dying day, I will believe that what they practiced at the church where I was raised, I think that's why they still did that. I don't think they knew that.